Okay, so we've been looking at just different areas where I guess we want to get victory over a certain area of addiction, different bad behavior that we've been dealing with, but we always have to realize there's deeper issues involved. And so we've looked at some of those, of how we deal with pain. If we're struggling with ingratitude, how that can be a snare to us. And last week, we looked at the idea of shame and how that can just, when we have an addiction, the addiction itself brings shame, and sometimes we deal with our shame by grabbing hold of the addiction, and it becomes a vicious cycle. And we want to find in God, of course, that He can give that covering for our shame. And so we want to just kind of continue along that line, and again, we realize we form patterns of thinking, ways of reacting that keep leading us into our addiction. So we have to change our thinking. We have to respond differently to our different circumstances we face, and that's when we find freedom. And so tonight we want to consider the topic of self-indulgence, realizing it's our natural tendency and recognizing it's a danger to us. And there is an alternative that can set us free. And so, we define self-indulgence as excessive or unrestrained gratification of one's own appetites, desires, or whims. Okay, and so it's that thought where you have just, there's no restraint to it. It just is whatever yourself wants, you give it to it right away, and whatever it might be. And a tendency with self-indulgence is always instant gratification, that we want to have pleasure and we want to have it right now. And so anytime we have that opportunity to grab something, we're going to take that opportunity, even if it's something that's actually going to be harmful to us down the road. And we can think of it in a lot of ways that our society panders to our desire for instant gratification. And we can just think of a few different examples that we don't want to wait for anything. And so there's so many different kind of instant foods that you can get nowadays. Where you're not going to have to wait for rice to boil for 20 minutes, you can have minute rice. You don't want to have to wait to cook oatmeal, so you have instant oatmeal. But for me, it's like you don't really want either. but then it's like with fast food, it's like there's always this expectation that you want to have this food, you want to basically give your order at the drive-thru, and by the time you whirl around to the window, you want to have it there, you don't want to have to wait. There's just always this expectation, I want everything right now. And there's so much with credit cards and different things that they're out there financially where it's like, oh, you don't have to wait for this, you can get this right now and you can enjoy this. And of course, we do that, but then with always the whole idea thing about the 20% interest is kind of in the fine print, and we quickly find out, boy, this isn't what I thought it was. And honestly, if you're financially speaking, if you're going to do a loan for something, a credit card is probably the worst way to finance something. There's a lot of other ways that you can do it. But there's a lot of advertising out there too where it's just sort of, well, indulge yourself, pamper yourself, don't have to wait, you can have it now. And so we're wired into that it's like whatever is out there that's fun, that has the expectation of just being kind of a good time or just some kind of experience they've never had before. Well, I'm just gonna try that. And a lot of times we do that, and it's like we look back later, and it can be such a mistake. But that's our tendency to always grab hold of these things. But as well, we want to realize that our tendency is to also avoid anything which in the moment seems difficult, painful, or requires sacrifice. That's like, I have to wait for this, or I have to go through this difficulty before I can get to this thing that I want. And we say, I'm not interested in that. That we tend to always avoid anything that is going to be a bit of a fight, going to be a bit of a struggle. We just want kind of the easy route. What is the fastest way to getting what I want? And we're not a lot of times willing to take the time to do what's difficult. But we want to understand how our brain works, because what happens is anytime we experience pleasure, something is pleasurable to us, our mind has this sudden dump of dopamine into our nervous system, and it gives us this pleasurable feeling, and it also creates this good memory. And so what happens is our mind starts to train itself, says, well, whatever that was, I want it again. And so even in anticipation of something that you had before that was pleasurable, it's already starting to give you that kind of push of this dopamine to get you going. And so you want to relive that pleasurable experience. And, of course, the problem is, as people have studied out, with various substances that are addictive, it unnaturally increases the dopamine levels in the brain. And so it's basically telling you, you want this, you need this, you have to grab hold of this. And that's why quitting can be so difficult, because your mind is really working against you. And it says, I want the pleasure. And sometimes it can be to the point where part of you, you're arguing with yourself, this is going to kill me. But your body says, I want this, I need this. I'm not going to be satisfied until you give this to me. And it drives you crazy. But it's the way your system is working, and how a lot of these addictive things really kind of mess with the whole programming of your brain to the point where you can't even make the decision you want to make. But this is kind of the thought, and you could look at this as kind of being kind of joking, but I think it's really something we want to recognize to be true, because the two times where self-indulgence becomes the strongest is when things go bad or when things go good. And we think, well, that's okay, well, it's always strong. But you kind of think of it this way, where something's happened and you've had a really rough day, and like, I think we can just kind of recognize conversations that we've had with ourselves where it's like, man, this was rough. The boss was a jerk today. I tried to do this and it didn't work. And self says to us, hey, man, you need to pick me up. Why don't you use? And so it's like, okay. And so we seek after pleasure to make ourselves feel good. And we do feel good, but then we feel awful again, because that's not what we want to do. But then what happens is we struggle through something and we have a victory and things are going great. So then let ourselves say, oh yeah, you did really good. You deserve a reward. And so why don't you grab hold of this thing that's going to be a reward to you? And so we do that. And I want to understand, like, this applies to so many different things in life. Yes, it talks in terms of addictions, but there can be different things that we might grab hold of as well that we think, well, that's not as bad as an addiction, but it still can become addicting. Like, it can be where we have different kind of comfort foods that we go to. Sometimes it's different habits that we do that we think, this is a way to relieve stress, or this is a way to kind of raise my spirits. And we want to realize it's that self-indulgence, where self is either feeling sorry for itself, or self is wanting to reward itself. And so we grab hold of these things. But we want to understand the principle that in all situations of life, we are going to experience both pain and pleasure. Our idea is we want to always grab hold of pleasure, and we want to avoid pain at all costs. But that's not the way that it works in life. That we're going to experience both pain or pleasure, and we have to decide in what order. Because it's the thing, is we can experience the short-term pleasure and have long-term pain, or we can experience the short-term pain and then have long-term pleasure. And we like, and this is kind of the thing, trying to get our mind to recognize that, because it's just, it's wanting the now, and it can't see into the future and see this is worth it going through this difficulty now. But we realize this to be true. And so here are just a few examples. Say with your diet and what you choose to eat, that you can be overeating, you can be eating a lot of junk food and just always giving in, or you can say, okay, I'm going to maybe restrict what I'm eating, I'm going to make some healthier choices, I'm not going to pig out like I used to. We think, okay, the overeating where we get to indulge in things, that's the fun part, right? But then as we get older, what starts to happen? We start to have heart disease, we start to have, say if we're overweight, our knees start to go. And there's all these things that start happening. And it's like, yeah, I indulge, enjoyed that, but now I'm suffering as a result. Whereas it's like, okay, if I start making choices now, doing things a bit differently, then I find myself where I'm not having all these health problems as I get older. Another thing would be with exercising, that we know that, okay, well, it's good to get exercise, even walking just a bit every day, like it actually, we find medically that it helps relieve stress and different things. And so there's a lot of good things with being active, but there's part of us that's quite willing to make excuses and say, oh, it's cold out, I don't want to go jogging, or it's like going to the gym, that just costs too much for membership, and we get all these different excuses. But then what happens if we are lethargic, then it has long-term effects to us. Whereas if we're keeping active, we're trying to keep ourselves at a certain level of fitness, it helps us stay healthy, it helps us remain strong, it actually, if we're kind of limbered up and everything, it prevents us from a lot of times getting an injury at work if we have some of that strength built in. Another thought would be with spending, is that we have that choice. We can buy something now, we can have it and enjoy it now, but then we end up, we're having to pay later, that we get the credit card bill when it comes, and we can only pay so much of it, so then we get all this interest lumped on it, or we have these different debts that we have to pay back, and it's because I wanted to have this now, and it just, okay, I've got it, but I'm not enjoying this. I'm basically like a slave to this job that I don't like because I got to pay these bills that I racked up. Whereas instead it's saying, okay, well, I'm going to do without this for now. I'm going to be careful. I'm going to save up. And then it comes, okay, I've saved up enough. I can buy it and I can pay cash. I don't have to do any interest. And it's like, I have it and it's mine. And it just, it's a really good feeling. So it's difficult to do that, especially in the way our society is today, but learning that, it's a lot more enjoyable. But as well, when we think of, with our addictions, that our mind is saying to us, oh, come on, it just give in one more time, it's not going to be a big deal. And it's kind of the thing, is that we often get tricked in that, thinking, oh, well, just one more time is not going to be a big deal. But a lot of times what happens, we do it a little bit. It's kind of the principle where small compromise lead to great disasters, that we give in a little bit and then we end up, we went a whole lot further than we thought, further down than we wanted to, and we feel so ashamed. Whereas instead, when we make the choice, okay, this is not easy for me to do, but I'm going to not give in. I'm going to make the right choice. And right now, it doesn't seem to be a good thing because this person that was my friend doesn't want to be my friend anymore because I'm not going drinking with them or not doing drugs with them. But in time, realizing, boy, I've got on this path. I'm not doing this anymore. The cravings are getting less and less, and my life is kind of coming back. Because it's kind of the thing when we get to a point where we're in an addiction, we're enjoying ourselves in different ways, but then we're looking around, why is everyone leaving me? Why are all my relationships crumbling? And realizing, okay, yeah, it's because I'm giving into this, and this is the cost that it is to me. But when I learn to instead push away from that, take a different path, then that's a lot of times when you find, oh, my relationships are starting to be restored, or I'm finding new relationships that are help to me. And so that's what our choice is it's like we're going to have to experience pain in life, and there is pleasure to be enjoyed, but we have to choose in what order. If we say, I want pleasure right now, you can have it, but there's going to be the pain later on. And we have to learn and really retrain our minds to say, okay, it's better to go through the rough stuff now if I can know that there's good things later on. And so it's necessary for us to learn to say no to self for our own good. And we have to be willing to endure some short-term pain for long-term gain. And so we actually see this principle demonstrated by Moses and by Jesus in the Bible. And so with this first verse here, see, Moses, he was adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh, and he could have chosen to forget about his origins and just become this person that would just kind of be in the palace and have a bunch of servants. But we see here it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. That it's the thing is that sin does have pleasure, but it is only for a season. There's always a cost to it, and it gets to a point where it's not fun anymore. And he said, okay, I'm not going to choose that. I'm going to reject that pleasure. I'm going to go through this affliction. But then what happened is that through that affliction, he was able to lead his people out of slavery to the promised land. And so much greater of a life that he had because he made that choice late, earlier on. And then as well, we see with Jesus, it talks about him looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That kind of the thought was, because when you think of what happened through his whole death and suffering and crucifixion, that was not any fun at all, right? But he looked for the joy that was set before him because he knew, I go through this, and then I provide salvation for all mankind. So I'm willing to do that, go through all this, because of my love for other people, because I know it's going to make a difference. And so it's a pattern that they leave for us, a principle that we can follow. And so when we think of Jesus Christ, of course, we speak of him, that Jesus Christ is the truth that sets us free. And it's the thought of, we're to be free from the snare of self-indulgence, we must learn to follow in his steps of self-denial, where it isn't self is on the throne saying, give me what I want, and it's just the tyrant that's basically demanding everything, that we come to a point where we say, no, I'm not listening to you, I'm going to do what I need to do, even if it's difficult, because it's what needs to be done. And so we see this is one that we think we've looked at, memorized. He says if we continue in his word, if we follow him, then we're going to be his disciples. We'll know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. And so this is something that Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." And it's learning that there's things that self says to do that we just have to learn to say no to. It says this isn't worth it. That yes, there's benefits to it, but there's going to be an awful cost down the road, and so I have to say no to this. I have to instead follow the Lord. That it's this kind of thing. If God's against something, so am I. If he says this is not what is good for me, I need to lay it aside because he has something better for me that's going to come down the road if I'm staying true and following him. And this is what Jesus said before he went to the cross. He said, "Father, if possible, let this pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And that's sometimes what we really have to get to, is saying, "Okay, Lord, I know what you've got for me is the best. And I have what I want to do, but it's probably not going to end up nearly as good as what you have. So I want your best, and so I'm going to say, okay, your will, not mine." And I know my mom, she had a plaque in her kitchen at home, and it says, "God always gives his best to those who leave the choice to him." And I think it's really true, that when we say, "Okay, you're making the call, not me, because I don't know what's right for me." And a lot of times what I think is right ends up being a disaster, because there's one verse where it says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so a lot of times we can't trust our own discernment. We think this will be a good thing, and it ends up going bad real quick, where a lot of times we take another path that doesn't seem very good at first, but then it's like, "Wow, I'm sure glad I went this way, because it spared me from a whole lot of trouble." And so it's a thought that as we develop in a relationship with God, we learn to live and walk in the Spirit. And we see the various different fruits of the Spirit, but the last one is this idea of temperance. And it's the idea that we're Spirit-controlled in all of life's enjoyments. That there's times where we know to put the brakes on something because it's not going to be a good thing. And as well, we see, like, there's a lot of different things really in the fruit of the Spirit that help us with different things. Sometimes long suffering. That's sometimes what we have to do. We suffer long because there's going to be a reward in the end. And as well, having faith. That it's the idea that sometimes what God says, if you do this, it's going to be worthwhile. We don't see it in the moment, but we trust him and say, "Okay, I'm going to follow this path." And then as we get to the end of it, we find, yes, it was worthwhile. And so so we see this in Romans 8, that we're not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. We don't have to do what the flesh tells us, what our self is always saying. Because if we do, we're going to die. A lot of times, self will kill us if we give into it all the time. But instead, if we learn to say no through the Spirit, then that's where we really find the abundant life God wants for us. And so this is the fruit of the Spirit. It's all these different things. And it says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." And if you're crucifying something, that's kind of a sign you don't really like it too much. Right? And it's that idea, is that really we want to think of it this way, is that a lot of times we've got different desires and self is trying to run things, and we treat it like a pet, these different kind of desires that we have, and we kind of coddle it, we feed it, we make sure that it can thrive. But instead we want to look at it more like not a pet but a pest, where if you have like a mouse or a rat in your house, you're going to do everything to get that out because it doesn't belong in your house. And that's kind of with a lot of different things, that we look at it that way. I'm not going to coddle this anymore. I'm going to try to exterminate it from within me, because it's only going to drag me down. All right, so as we think, these questions are kind of ones you can use to kind of evaluate different decisions that you're making. Just kind of question yourself, because sometimes we we jump into something and don't even really think about it. And so it's good to ask these. And so whatever we do, yes, there can be short-term pleasure, but what are going to be the long-term results? Are there good consequences? Are there bad consequences? And we kind of looked at last week, principle number 9, with the idea that there's being consequences. We sometimes think that we're the exception, that there's not, even though this goes badly for other people that have done this, I'm going to somehow miss out. And we want to realize, no, there are consequences that we have to face. And so this is a question too. What is most important to me? What do I value? What do I cherish? What long-term goals do I have in terms of where I want to be financially, where I want to be relationship-wise, where I want to be in terms of who I am and what I'm doing with my life? And so when we lay those out, then we say, okay, is this going to help get me to where I want to go? Or is this going to keep me from where I want to go? Is this going to jeopardize my long-term goals by giving into this? And so we have to take stock of those things and say, wait a minute, this is not worth it, because if I do this, then I'm going to miss out on this that I want to have later on. And so it's learning that it's worth, things that are worth having are worth waiting for. And so learning to wait for those things. And so with the appetite that we have, we need to ask, okay, is this something that I should satisfy? Is this something healthy? Or is this something that is completely unhealthy that I need to starve and just eliminate from my life? Or it could be something where it's not necessarily harmful, but if I get it out of balance, it will be. And so I need to suppress this appetite so it doesn't control me. And then finally, what long-term blessing can I hope to realize by saying no to self now? That there's times where it sure doesn't feel like it's worth it in the moment, but in time it will be. And so we want to see that and have that be our motivation later on. All right, any thoughts or questions as we conclude? No? All right.